Hey guys, it's Lauren.
And I'm Megan, and welcome back to the Scribe Squad Pod, a Fourth Wing book club. Hi guys, welcome back to Scribe Squad Podcast. This week we're going to do chapter 11, and just to give you guys a heads up, next week we're going to skip a deep dive to get a little bit more on the schedule we originally planned, and we're going to go into chapter 12. So chapter 11 this week, chapter 12 next week.
We got some good chapters coming up.
Yes, yeah, some very meaty chapters. We might also have to break up some of these chapters.
Yeah. They're about to start getting really
long. I was about to say, like threshing.
I love threshing, but there's also a Zayden's point of view of threshing too. Have you read it?
No, I read the other chapters, but that'll have to be our deep dive. But then, is it as long as the threshing chapter?
No, it's just the end.
Okay. Of threshing. So well, we'll have to. That's an upcoming deep dive potentially.
I love that one.
All right, we are going to start this out with the way we always start out, with Lauren reading the blurb. If you get to see the video of this, I'm sorry that we are so weird.
Okay, here we go. It is a grave offense against Malak to keep the belongings of a dead loved one. They belong in the beyond with the god of death and the departed. In the absence of a proper temple, any fire will do. Who does not burn for Malak will be burned by Malak. And that comes from Major Rorley's Guide to Appeasing the Gods, second edition.
I'm like re-listening to all the blurbs every time. Like,
I know. Honestly, I didn't read them the first time.
Yeah.
So now I'm like going back and I'm like, oh shoot, these kind of matter. Yeah. I didn't start reading them until Iron Flame.
Do you feel like that one, I know we can't go into spoilers. Do you think that one, I don't think that one
talks about this chapter?
Correct.
I don't think so either. But that is the first time that we actually understand like why
they do the burning.
Those
who don't burn for Malak will
be burned by Malak. And the other thing too is we really get the first sense of them burning things in, I think it was the last chapter when
she took
Aurelia dies and she takes all that
stuff.
Well,
then maybe that's like the closing of it.
Yeah.
You know? Rebecca doesn't always, it doesn't always align with the exact chapter. Sometimes it's a few before, sometimes it's just interesting what she decides to place. I always feel like it's intentional, but then I'm like, again, but why? Tell us why.
We just need to know.
All right. So this chapter the last chapter we left off, she got to, of course, see, they were going through practice and Aurelia falls. And she, of course, goes and burns it. That's the big part of the gauntlet that we were at, which this one picks up at the gauntlet. So I wanted to kind of refresh our memory.
Yes, this one picks up at the actual gauntlet. Like they have a couple more practices and then they go into presentation. And to get to presentation, you have to make it to through the gauntlet.
Through those practices, they haven't lost anyone else on their team. Their buddy Tynan stopped running his mouth, probably because
it's hard.
It is.
And he's like, oh, this is totally fine. And it's not easy. So.
And the biggest, Violet's still struggling with the same obstacle, which is the chimney.
Yeah.
Which is the big wall.
Yeah.
That she has to go up.
She has to climb up a wall, essentially.
And she, so I think it's even before. Okay, no, it's not before then, because I have a big part I want to talk about, the way reading the novel. This, like, second time through is really, like, making me pick up on so much stuff about, like, the feelings and emotions of it, whereas the first time I was just like, this is so good.
This is so cool.
Let me just keep reading. but, yeah, so she thinks she's too short, basically, to master the chimney. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, because you have to get up, like, I picture her, like, spider monkeying up it.
Yeah.
And she's, like, not long enough.
Well, and even just, like, in, like, American Ninja Warrior.
My favorite.
Yeah, I know that we've mentioned this a few times. It is an advantage, like, for me. I'm 5'8", and I have long arms.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't have to run as far because I just got to get my fingers up there. But for someone like Vanessa, who our coworker, she would, like, have to run farther. So,
even, like, this is a big thing for fighting, too. My husband, like, does MMA, but Torres Finney, he has a wingspan of like somebody that's 6'5". He has a huge wing and he's 5'6". So it helps him a lot in fighting because he can be farther away. So wingspan really matters at the end of the day.
It's a very big athletic
like
data point that that can really make or break. But you know, she's been so good at finding a way to, like, use things to her advantages. Right,
exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, so Rhee is there, and she's trying to help her, like, strategize. Like, what are you going to do? And yeah. I feel like this is the friend that, like, is trying to cheer you up after some bad news, where it's like, I don't want logic right now.
I, like, just, like, need to...
I need to just, like, embrace that this might not happen for me.
I also feel like this chapter, we really get a sense of Rhee and Violet's relationship.
Yeah.
We get a really... It's a, like, foundation block on their friendship and how they interact with each other.
I think up until this point, too, like, you see that Rhee and her have been friends, but, like, I want you to succeed.
Right.
It's a very different version of friendship than, like, I'm just here for you and right. I make sassy comments. Right. And because, you know, Rhee is being a cheerleader for her.
Right. Exactly.
And I know she's trained her, but it's like, no, no, no. Like, really, I mean it. Here's the money where my mouth is. I want you to succeed.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, they're all just trying to strategize. And even Rhee was like, well, what if you climb on my back and do this? And Sawyer, who, again, this is his second time doing this, he's like, you can't touch another cadet. So, you know, that plan's basically out the window. So Violet's like basically back to the drawing board about how to get through, because presentation is the next day. So she's got to figure something out basically overnight.
And this is like the part that I was like, I feel like it's so necessary looking like at it now. I think I skimmed this part when, because I didn't realize there was a part that she actually considered going, leaving the quadrant, the rider quadrant. And yeah. She is considering, and I think this is such a pivotal, like, actually, I was just talking to a peer about imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And how we all get it. Like, yeah. 100% of people get imposter yeah. syndrome, or you're a narcissist. I just think that that's because, like, I feel like I'm a very, because we were talking about, like, I feel very confident.
Yeah.
I'm a very confident person, but there are still moments that I'm like, can I do this?
Right.
Why am I here? Like, there are just these moments. And I don't know. It was nice to just, like, it's a very humanizing moment for her to yeah. debate this.
And again, I think it's another, like, touch into Violet's character in general, because she, like, I feel like she's has to portray a certain type of way in order for herself to believe it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even with Dane, she's like, no, I can do this, blah, blah, blah. But really deep down, she's kind of scared. But she puts on this front that she's so confident in order to help her feel that way as well.
Like, faking it till you make it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. She also, like, I mean, there's also this whole thing with her mom.
Yeah.
Like, she knows if she runs, she's going to face her mom.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, to me, when I read this and, like, when she decides, like, I was thinking about, like, what I would do, and, like, I don't want to disappoint my dad.
Right.
And even if I thought it was gonna, like, kill me to do it, I think I would, regardless of your relationship with your parent, like, you do not want to leave your parents disappointed.
Yeah.
As sad as that is, and I think her mom would have been disappointed.
And I think not just, because she's got to think about not just her mom as General Soringell, right, like head of the Riders Quadrant, but also her mom, who has two very successful children, has one currently, had one prior yeah. to, like, very successful riders. She's a very successful rider, so it's also living up to the name of Soringell, but also that is her mom, and, like, the personal touch of living up to and not wanting to disappoint your parents. So it's just a lot.
She does let us know that Brennan's and statistics say Gotland Day is the deadliest for first years.
Yeah. It's a rough time out there.
Super rough. And I also, I'd love to know, because obviously we know that there's Gauntlet and presentation mm-hmm. same day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah, it happens at the same time.
Yeah. So, like, I'd be interested to see if it, like, because the dragons can choose.
Which one, like,
yeah, which you'll
which
see.
Which one loses more.
If you want to know more about that, tune in next week. But, yeah, like, you do see some things happen in presentation, too, that might go into those statistics. So. Yeah.
So, like I said, in order to get to the flight field for the presentation, you have to pass the gauntlet.
And if anyone doesn't know what presentation is, it's literally exactly what it says. They're presenting the cadets to the dragons.
Yeah. They're literally just walking.
At least I assume that's what it is. I presume it's not the dragons being presented to the first years. I assume it's the first years being presented yeah. to the dragons.
Well, and it's, I don't know if it's in this chapter. I think it's in the next chapter. But they kind of go into that. It's like, it's not our choice. It's the dragons'
yes.
choice. So, like, we are basically being like, here we are.
Here they are. Do they look good? This is
please
like,
choose,
please choose one of them. Come on. Yeah. Or not. I'm looking at you, Jack.
Another person that we get introduced to, which I wanted to bring up, is Heaton. And he doesn't, they don't play a big part in this. But one thing that I really commend Rebecca Yarros for is her, like, very fluidness of sexuality in this book.
And social norms.
And just, like, yeah, like, being heterosexuals are not the norm. Not that they're not the norm, but it's just... You can be whatever, you can like whoever you want in this realm, and it's normal.
She's desensitized.
Yes.
This exact conversation.
Exactly.
Like, she's been like, hey, we don't have to talk about
this. We don't talk about this.
Which, like, it's like, being, obviously, we love this. We love all people, and it's, you know, still a big stigmatism where we're from, where that there is a lot of questions, but... Yes, you're talking about their pronouns.
Yes. So Heaton's pronouns are they, them. And it just comes right out and it's like, Heaton is saying good luck to us. They don't, blah, 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 whatever. And they're, Violet describes them as, like, the thickest in the squad. Like, they fight really hard. They've got a lot of really good patches on them. And it's the first time that, because we know that there are other people in their squad that are, you know, bisexual, gay, lesbian, whatever the case may be. But this is the first time that we're getting, like, a they, them pronoun person.
I will be most interested to see how Amazon handles that situation as far as who they pick as a character. Yeah. Because I'm sure Rebecca Yarros had someone in their mind.
I'm sure.
And I'm interested to see which... Because they, them is now open to anyone.
Right.
And really, I'm also interested to see... if they picked, like, characters that identify this way.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes they have an issue with casting.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying it's bad casting, like Modern Family.
Cam is not gay.
But
Mitchell is in real life. Yeah.
Which I'm not saying, but, like, I wonder how they're going to treat that, because that was cast 10 years ago, and this is a very different societal. Yeah. So Amazon, and not to get into too much of that, but.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting to point out in Rebecca Yarros's writing style.
I think we're starting to pay attention to, like, she's pointing out the patches, which again, remind me of military patches. Like, you get them for different reasons.
They bring up patches a lot in this chapter, specifically in regard to Heaton and also in regard to Garrick. Garrick might be in the next chapter, but.
I was about to say, don't they bring up Zayden's patches, too. Lack of patches.
So they talk about Heaton specifically, and they say that their patches basically means that they are really good on the mat. And Violet, ever since Dane pointed out the different patches, she has started noticing them, because you can tell a lot of how to beat this person.
Mm.
And that's why she notices people who don't have patches, because they're like Zayden, who has all these really intense qualities about him. Like, he's a great fighter.
Probably deserved a patch.
And he doesn't keep them on them, which is also a good strategy if you're a writer, because then people can't just, like, already assume how to beat you. I don't know. It was just very interesting.
Yeah, like a very strategic move.
Of whether you wear them or not. I don't know. It was interesting.
So, the squad is in formation.
Mm-hmm. They're heading toward the gauntlet at this point. The entire wing is. So, they're obviously flame section, second wing. So, their entire, like, wing is heading toward the gauntlet at this point.
This is the first time I think I've realized that they say it's claw first, right?
I think so.
They set them in order.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what it is, but I was like, oh, like, they really do put them in this order.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she's asking Dane if he's coming with them to the gauntlet.
And Dane, like, nods at her, but he doesn't look at her. Like, Dane's clearly mad at her for some reason. And Rhee was like, what's going on there? I don't get it. And Violet's like, well, he just wants something that I can't give him.
Yeah. They get a little heated about it, actually. But,
yeah.
So, Riddick notes that they are the biggest squad. Mm-hmm. Again, they hadn't lost anyone until O'Reilly. And then they haven't lost anyone since.
Correct.
So, that's kind of nice. I don't know if it ever says that they necessarily put them equally at the beginning. But I'm assuming they must, like when they're assigning quadrant squat.
Oh, like they all have the same amount of people.
Yeah, like do they all start with 12?
Or I assume so.
I do too, but I don't think it's ever specified.
Yeah, I don't think it specifically says, but I would assume so, yes. But yeah, he says they're the biggest squad. And Dane says, yeah, there's a total of 171 in first years going through the gauntlet this year.
But bad news, there's only 100 dragons.
It's only about 100 dragons.
So 71 of you guys. If you don't die today.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is not only if you don't die, but then also, and that's also like, there's 100 dragons willing to bond, but also we're about to go be presented in front of them. And some of them might be like,
some of them do drop. They tell them that at the beginning that the dragons can drop out after presentation. If they're like, the quality this year subpar, I'm going to wait.
Next year is on my list.
Yeah. So that could happen.
Yeah.
So Lucas says to stop worrying about it, because if the dragons think that they are cowards and they're nothing but a name on presentation day. So, like, if they're worried and they're not, like, confident and, like, basically mind over matter.
Right.
Like, hey, if the dragons can sense if you...
Right, exactly. If they don't like you and you're acting like a coward, they will literally burn you.
I think that's one of the things you learn in the first class is that they're like, don't run away from dragons.
Yes, because even on, like, after Parapet and they're all together, you know, the dragon, like, kills all these people.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's crazy. So about that time, Zayden, our boy, he's the wing leader. So he's calling everybody to move out, and then everybody starts making their way toward the gauntlet.
So this is when we get our boy Dane. I'm trying not to hate on him, but this moment makes me want to hate on him. So he's getting in between Violet and Rhee.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you need to change your mind. Again, not like, hey, how are you feeling?
Like, how's it going today?
Where's your
head at?
Yeah, tell me how you're feeling about this. Like, hey, you need to leave right now.
Like, come on, let's go.
Violet, of course, no way. Yeah. I'm not leaving. She's obviously gone through this struggle. It's not like she hasn't put thought into it.
Exactly.
Which I do think is part of the reason Rebecca put this view in the chapter was because, like, I mean, if you're like me and you have ADHD, sometimes you just do stuff because you're like, all right, I'm already on this track. But, like, it showed that, like,
yeah, she has thought about it.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of scared.
Yeah.
I mean, she's ultimately kind of scared about this. But basically, Dane starts begging her. He's like, please, just change your mind. Please, like, I don't think I can watch you go through this.
I hate when he says, I don't want to bury you.
Yeah. And then I love Violet's response.
Yes. Though,
because she's like, at some point, we're going to have to bury each other.
Yes.
So, like, you're going to have to get over that.
Yes.
Thought. And
but that's such a manipulation. That's where I think the manipulation comes into play. I do believe he genuinely feels that way. So I think your feelings are valid. What you're saying is not. Like, your action is not
right.
valid.
And I feel like, this is just me, but I don't think that Dane is purposely trying to manipulate Violet. I think that genuinely Dane cares about Violet, and he genuinely wants what's best for her. However, like, the way he portrays it comes off as very manipulative.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think this is kind of like when you, like, this is how red flags are. And I think Dane has a character arc, and we've talked about it. Like, I'm trying not to hate on him.
Yeah.
I think this is how manipulation comes in a relationship, though. It doesn't always look like I'm straight out trying to manipulate you. It comes from a place you understand, and that's how you rationalize it. But you're like, no, I...
Like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is my decision. Like, nobody should be telling me what to do.
And then Dane's like, I'm going to say it the way I think he said, I'm not sure I can watch.
I can watch this.
And then Violet says, well, then shut your eyes. Then close your eyes, because it's about to happen. And again, I think this is such a good development, because it's like... again, you have all these people who are supporting her. He's the only one that's, like, questioning if she can do it. So I think it's really good. I can shit on him for this a little bit, but I don't like this interaction.
I also love that Violet, then this is just in general, she does not care about, like, people's titles either, because she's just, like, letting him have it. You know what I mean?
I also will say, I think we said also so many times in this. Also. We'll stop saying it at this point.
Maybe.
In addition. I think that the one thing about friendship is I see in this moment how strong that Violet thinks their friendship is, because it takes a lot to look at your friend and say, I'm not respecting anything you're asking me to do, and I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And she's saying it in a way that she, like, isn't scared Dane isn't going to take it. She knows he's going to still be your friend after, which
yeah.
I think does show how solid of a relationship they have, because
True.
She's like, even though you're telling me no, and I think it's gonna hurt their relationship.
Right, but it's not going to break it.
It would hurt my, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what true friendship is yeah. hey, I'm telling you things I don't like. I don't like, you know.
Yeah.
And,
I agree. But, yeah, ultimately, Dane basically is questioning Violet, and I love this line. It's my favorite line. He's like, what happened between Parapet and now? Because Parapet, remember, Violet's like this weak little, like,
yeah.
I'm scaled.
Wrap me up, Dane.
Wrap me up, Dane. Please help me out.
And then... Yeah, so what changed?
Violet's like, me.
Me, I changed. Which she did.
I freaking changed.
But I think she changed even from the beginning of Parapet.
From the minute that yeah. she stepped onto the parapet, walking across it, like, the entire time she's changed.
Yes.
I agree.
So then the gauntlet starts. So we know, obviously, Dane covering his eyes probably up there. So she starts on the gauntlet.
She does start. She said that she made it through the first three ascents, like, no problem. That's not her worry here. And she also did it without touching any ropes, which I was like, our girl, she's
yes.
getting really good at this. You know what I mean?
She says she can feel Dane, which I think that's interesting to say, like, I can feel Dane. I definitely think you can feel people staring at you.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, she had, but, like, even the feeling she gets from Zayden's about being close, it's not about, like, or, you know, looking. So my thing is, like, how did she decipher that? But I like this idea that Dane is looking at her. But out of all of this fantasy world, this is the most unbelievable part to me, is that she knew it was Dane.
How do you know?
Dragons, real. Sensing who exactly is looking at you. Fake.
Fake. Fake news.
Fake news right there. But she's not looking down, which is great.
Yeah.
Keeping your eyes forward, moving on, not touching ribs.
Which also is what that she was told to do on the parapet. Like, don't look down anytime.
Yeah.
You know, don't look down.
So all the first years are there. They're all watching each other do this. And,
yeah.
of course, Rhee is trying to be supportive. She's like, go Violet. G-O-V-I.
I was like, what are we doing here? Also, I didn't write this down, but... at one point, Rhee is like, you can do it, something. And Jack goes, or you could fall.
Of course.
And Violet's like, you rude person.
Jack.
We love
I hope
Jack.
He has the day he deserves.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. So she reaches the chimney, which is, of course, the thing she is scaredest. Like, she hasn't been able to master it. Everyone has seen her be able to do these other objects, but not mastering the chimney.
Right, exactly. So, again, going back to the chapter before and Zayden being like, just because it's the right way doesn't mean it's the only way. So I think this has just, like, been in her mind the whole time. So she looks up at this monstrosity and she's like, what should I do? So Rhee also is like, well, what are you doing? And so she grabs the rope, and this is how I picture this in my mind. So she, like, grabs the rope and swings part of it up on top of the chimney. So she's using the rope as, like,
a little leverage to
basically, like, pull herself up. So she's using something that's already part of the gauntlet to assist her, which is, like, kind of, like, a big thing to note. But basically, she does that, she tugs on it, and she basically pulls herself up all the way to the top of the chimney. This first time she's ever been at the top of the chimney, and she was able to master it. Again, not doing it the right way, but getting up there anyway, which is really exciting. Made it to the top.
I thought she used a knife, too.
That's on the next part.
Oh, sorry.
So this is also the interesting thing about this, because I always thought the chimney was last.
So did I.
And it's not. She has never made it to the last obstacle, because she can't get through the chimney. The last obstacle is the ramp that you literally have to...
See, that's what I'm picturing the chimney is.
No, a chimney is literally... She has to, like, bear crawl up it.
I think I've put these together. See? Thank goodness there's a podcast that can help me decode all the things that are going in Rebecca Yarsh's
She has wing. Never been able to go up the ramp because she's never made it past the chimney. Right? So this is also on her mind of, like, oh crap, I also have to make it up this other thing after I hopefully get through the chimney.
Gotcha.
Right? So this part's really cool, I think. But she gets to the next part, which is, again, like a ramp. This is, if you ever watch American Ninja Warrior,
this is
the last
thing. I thought the chimney was.
No.
Okay.
So she, this one's really hard for her too, because again, she's short. And if you've ever watched American Ninja Warrior, they like run as fast as they can and then jump to the ledge. But she's short. Mm. So she's like, I know I'm not going to be able to reach the top of this ledge. So instead, she says she uses her quickness because she's very fast. And she runs as fast as she can. But first, she unsheathes a dagger. She's running with this in her hand. And as she said, as soon as she feels it to start to, like, the gravity shift, she, like, takes her dagger and stabs it into the ramp and then pulls herself up, steps on the dagger, and then is able to get over the top of the ramp. And so she makes it.
She made it.
She made it. And she also, as soon as she makes it up, she turns around and grabs her dagger.
Yeah.
Which is, like, very important.
She also, like, her squad, when she makes it past the chimney, like, everyone is cheering for her. I think it was important to kind of keep going on. Yes. But, yeah. So, and then also the ramp is made to test the adept's capability of, like, scaling a dragon's leg and saddle. And, like, I think that that's important because, like, while she is creative with these things, a little foreshadowing, I'm not going to try to ruin anything, like, she's not, these tests are designed
for a specific reason.
Correct. And being creative will be a trait she has throughout this time, but you will see there, the fact that she cannot master these naturally do
play a part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zayden had told her the right way. Also, I wanted to say that, like, Mira also told her, kind of figured out, that helped her figure this out.
And Brennan, too.
Yes, they've all kind of played into this idea of, like, here are the guidelines. How can you play within them?
And remember that the codex is, like, the codex, but, like, there's gray everywhere.
Which, speaking of the codex, we'll kind of skip and say that Amber Mavis, who was
Amber
hooking up with Dane while Violet is back at home safe.
Rude.
Rude, obviously. No, Dane can be all good. But they were, like, quote, close friends.
Yeah, they were close.
And she's, like, mad immediately about this. So
she's like, cheating! Cheating!
And, like, she's, like, running to Zeta. And she's like, this is also now a whole podcast of sound effects as well.
Or the dramatic, what is it, the dramaticized?
Yeah, the readings, like, fourth wing. That's now this. So, like, while Riddick, like, everyone else is, like, trying to congratulate her, Amber's literally, like, trying to tattletale on her. And he's like, you can't do it that way.
Yeah.
Garrick is like, back up.
Whoa, girl, back up.
Back up. This is our girl. And it's like, hey, you cannot use foreign, according to the codex, you cannot use foreign materials in there. We live by the rules or we die by them. And Violet's first thought is not like, oh, who is this? She's like, I see why her and Dane get along.
I see why her and Dane were hooking up.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing.
That is too much, which I think is interesting. She's not even upset by it. She's literally like,
no.
I see why Dane liked Amber.
Right, exactly. And Garrick says, I don't like that you're saying somebody in my squad cheated, and our wing leader will be the judge of this, basically.
Which I think is very interesting, because, of course, then it puts it in Zayden's hands, and I think that people probably thought Zayden would be like, yeah, Violet, you cheated, if you would have thought about their history.
Right.
But she's like, hey, I know I'm going to get a 30-second penalty for the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber's like, no, I'm talking about the knife.
Yeah.
Like, the knife. And she's like, you're disqualified.
Like, that's it. And Zayden doesn't say anything. And he just kind of, like, looks at Violet.
Yeah. And Amber keeps going. She's like, no, but, like, this, she's out.
But no, like, actually, she's got to be disqualified.
You can't tolerate the word lawlessness. You can't tolerate lawlessness in this. And they, again, Zayden's still looking. And then, of course, our girl Violet comes in.
My scribe girl, Violet, to the rescue. She starts reciting the codex, and she says, a rider may only bring to the quadrant the items they can carry.
And Amber's like, are you quoting the codex to me? Me?
Violet says, and they shall not be separated from those items, no matter what they may be. For once carried across the parapet, they are considered part of their person. Article 3, Section 6, Addendum B.
And she's like, well, that addendum was written to make thievery, like, a like a death penalty, basically. Exactly. Like, hey, you know this.
And Violet's like, yeah, but it also gave me the right to be able to like make. She was like, I carried this across the parapet, and now it's mine, so I can use it however I want.
Which I. Thumbs up. If you are watching our video, those fun thumbs ups, things are happening for us. But yeah, so I think that we skipped a little bit. So we might have to edit that part out. But yeah, so it's funny because, again, rules are meant to be like they made these rules, and Violet's right. Like, how can I play around them?
Exactly.
And her intelligence beat out the physical brutality, yes. The physical strength. Like, yes, she used physical strength, but she also used her mind power.
Yes, and Violet says, this isn't a challenge braid. It's the one I carried across and therefore is part of myself. And Zayden, of course, is like, my girl. And Violet's like, the right way isn't the only way. And Zayden, of course, is like, yeah, she's right, Amber. Like, sorry about it.
Yeah, and Amber, of course, is like... Like, I'm sure I'm pretty upset. It's just a technicality.
Yeah.
And she's like, you think like a scribe, which
Violet's like, I know.
Yeah. She means as an insult, which I'm like, yeah.
Scribes, hello.
Yeah. I mean, we're the most intelligent. Obviously, people want to be a part of the scribes. But I think about that. So do you remember a couple of years ago, Dove did this campaign of like, you throw like a girl.
Yes.
And you kick like a girl.
Yes.
And
I do remember that campaign.
They did it where they asked grown adults the slogan, and they were like, throw like a girl. And they like did a little pitiful throw. They did like kick like a girl, and they're like, and like scared. And then they asked young female athletes, like under the age of 10, hey, kick like a girl. And like these girls ran full speed and they kicked, throw like a girl. They were like crushing it. And it's like, if you do not understand like that, those phrases only have meaning to those who put
them that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that's like, Violet's like, that is not an insult to me.
Yeah. Like, I'm very proud of the fact that I'm smart.
Yes. And so there's nothing wrong with that. That's what that reminded me of, is like, that does seem insulting to you, Amber, but like for Violet, that's her dad.
Oh yeah.
Like that's
my dad.
Yeah. I think like my dad. Thank you.
Actually, thank you. Yeah,
actually I succeeded, so thank you.
Hey, I won either way. I got across, so it's all that matters.
But then Amber, like, storms off. She's like, I lost this battle. I go cuddle up with Dane later. I don't know. She doesn't really say that. That's me.
Assuming here.
That's me ad-libbing completely. There's not even any context for that, but they would make a great couple.
Yeah, they would honestly do very well. Which is why they were probably hooking up last year.
But Zayden points out, he's like... You're bleeding.
Hey, she's like, can you fix that situation there?
Please do something about the blood.
Literally. And at that point, Violet's like, oh, crap. Her adrenaline is, like, starting to come down. And she's like, wow, I'm in an enormous amount of pain.
Actually, like, I'm really hurting.
I think I might be dying.
And so she gets to go home and drink a hot cup of tea and rest. Just kidding.
If only.
We're just kidding. That is the end of chapter 11. And we will see where this picks up. But you know her day is not over.
Yes.
We are about to go to presentation. So, again, if this left you wanting more and you want to hear about the rest of Violet's day, tune in next week. I apologize. I'm going to take the apology for the late posting. Definitely on me and my schedule. Lauren has been nice to film with me whenever we can. We're doing our best. Honestly.
We are really trying, guys. We also work, like, I work a full-time job. She owns, like, 4 businesses. So,
it's fine.
We're trying. Once a week, we have promised.
And we also have a bunch of side quests we're working on, too. Lauren will reveal some of hers later. And, you know, and we have side quests that we have to accomplish in our games. So.
Yes.
So, soon enough. Well, it'll all come out, but thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to us on all platforms, rate, review. I cannot believe how many of you guys listen to us.
I know.
Thank you.
It's so exciting. We love it. We love interacting with you.
Also, we've been trying to get, we got some emails trying to get out. I need a correction corner. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, I saw them.
I have a correction to make. So thank you so much to the listener who emailed us in. Brennan's dragon is in Erasia.
Yes.
It is mentioned. We missed that. And I loved
it. I think a lot of people missed that. Yes. So I'm glad she brought it up.
Yes. Honestly. And I really hope this listener knows that, like, that was really appreciated because we are trying to give out accurate information. Yes. We're not ever going to be perfect, nor claim to be.
Exactly.
We're near
We've only read this book 4 times. Okay. Yeah. And we still don't know.
I've only read it once. And I'm rereading it with you guys. And since January, I've read 41 books. So mind is not full of just fourth wing. All right. See you guys next week.